gone. All summer I had spent building up my team, and it was gone. And so as a 13-year-old boy, I looked to heaven and I went, "Vanity of vanities, it's all vanity." No, I didn't really do that. But you read Ecclesiastes and you get the heart of what the preacher is telling us. Vanity. Oh, I've spent all of this time and it's all for nothing. It passed away. Vanity. Passing. It's gone. I'm so glad I lost my team. Because I learned at an early age that investing into something under the sun, under this world that we've been studying, can lead to great frustration, great sadness. And I'm glad it was just virtual characters on a video game. And not something that was truly meaningful in life. Not something that was important. Friends, what we have here on earth is time. The one thing nobody can take away from us. It's a commodity that cannot be stolen by a thief. What will we do with it? Will we build great teams? Will we build great houses? What will we do with it? If you have your Bibles, I invite you this morning to open up to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Appreciate you reading and reminding us what's going on this morning, John. As you're turning there, I want to remind you that our theme for the year is Each One, Reach One. Invest into something that won't fade. That is the salvation of someone you love. Reach one this year. Pray for them. Invest into them. Continue to do it. Last week we had Justin Rayburn shared with us about their trip heading away to invest into, who was it? Y'all remember? People of the desert. They're in Africa. So they're there. Pray for the people of the desert that they might be saved. And last week we also looked at the truth that we will die. And we're going to review that quickly this morning. We will die. You will die. There will be a day, young people and old, that we will be in a grave, or we will be in a casket, or we will be in an urn, and people will look at us and say, "Oh, I remember Keith Horton. Oh, I will miss Keith Horton." Keep that in mind. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 15. "Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen also to me." And what's he talking about? Death. The fool and the wise are all going to die. "Why then have I been so very wise then?" This is what we looked at last week. "I said in my heart, it's all vanity. The wisdom I have, it's going to pass away. My mind will not be forever. It will pass away." Verse 16. For of the wise, as of the fool, there's no enduring remembrance. People are going to forget about me, no matter how smart I am, seeing that the days to come will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life. I was mad at it. Because it's going to end and it's all passing and things are going away. Because what is done under the sun was grievous or was troublesome or was bothersome to me. For all is vanity and a striving after the wind. So is that it? Is that where Ecclesiastes leaves us? Just hated life. Grievous disappointment. Church, I want to ask you, friend, I want to ask you, this life that ends with utter disappointment and you put in your game cartridge and your team's gone and you go, ah! Your video game is a little less important than the rest of your life. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a friend. You go to bed at the end of the night and you go, is it worth it all? What's the point? That's where the preacher was. Look at verse 18. He begins a new chapter. I hated all my toil, all of my working, all of my efforts. I hated all my toil in which I toil. Where? Under the sun. Okay, remember this. In worldly thing, in on this earth, on this planet, things that are of this planet, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. I worked hard. I sacrificed. I bled. I sweated. And my kids are going to reap the rewards. Or not. Verse 19, and all who knows whether he will be, and who knows whether or not my child is going to be wise or a fool, yet he will be the master of all which I toiled under the sun, and my wisdom, toiled under the, and used my wisdom under the sun. This is vanity. Anybody ever heard of the Vanderbilt family? Okay, yep, Vanderbilt family. Big time family. There's an SEC school probably. Some of you younger folks just think, yeah, that's a school, isn't it? Don't we play them in football every now and then? Well, yeah, it is. Vanderbilt is named after the Vanderbilt family, who was huge in early American days. Huge. In fact, at one point, the Vanderbilt family had more money in their possession than the U.S. Treasury. The Vanderbilt family was as wealthy as they could get. The Vanderbilt family had lavish parties, lavish, extravagant homes. You can go see some of them up the East Coast even today, the Biltmore and many others are there. ...70% of their wealth was lost through the second generation. 70% of their wealth was spent in the second generation. And 90% of their wealth was gone by the third generation. More money than the U.S. Treasury. Gone. By grandchildren. In fact, there are reports and there is evidence that grandchildren of the great Vanderbilts died on the street homeless with nothing. Vanity. Money comes, but guess what? Money goes. Friends come, guess what? Friends go. Churches come. You know what? Churches go. How many of you are on your, at least, have had at least three vehicles that you've driven in your life? Okay? All right? Four vehicles you've driven? Okay? Guess what? Cars come. And cars that cost an average of, let's say, average of $20,000. Okay, let's just get. Most of you in this room have had four cars. Things come and things go, and you worked hard and you paid for that car, and money came out of your account every month. And sometimes it's a fender bender, sometimes it's mechanical problems. Verse 20. So I turned about and gave my heart up to what? Despair. Everything I'm working for is going to be passed away, going to be passed down, going to be given to somebody else. It's just depressing. Over all of my efforts and labor, it will not, I cannot take it with me. Over all my toil under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This is also vanity and a great evil, he says. Look in verse 21. The key word I want us to think about is this. Must leave. About halfway through the verse, you see it. Third line down at the end. The skill, everything I've earned, I must leave everything. Did you know the ancient Egyptians and many ancient cultures, when they buried a person, you know what they did with them? Yeah, they put what? Valuables with them. So that they could take them to the next world and cross that river and bring it to them to the other world. That's why there are tomb raiders and people that go in these pyramids and these tombs and take the valuables that people have. The preacher here had it right. I must leave it. And you know, sometimes we as 21st century educated folks, we say, those silly Egyptians. Can't take it with you. Do we act like that sometimes, though? Don't we? Don't we act like there's nothing more important than looking younger or looking better or having that toy? And I'll sacrifice my family or my devotion to God to get whatever it may be. Almost as if it's more important than the things that really do last forever. Whatever's under the sun seems, we can touch it, we can feel it, so it must be more real than what we can't touch or feel. Did y'all notice the theme of the songs this morning? Thank you, quartet, by the way. Y'all, good. I told them they could come back every week. What do y'all think? Yeah. All their songs had to do with glory. You notice? They all had to do when I see Jesus, when the roll's called up yonder. It'll be worth it. Looking to another world. Let me give you a passage of Scripture. Jesus thought that way too. Christians, we need to think that way. Jesus did. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. Let me say it a little differently, if I may. Take some liberty here. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures under the sun, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. The next world. Where neither moth and rust destroy or thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Christian, how much time do we invest into this world? In fact, how about this? Take an average day. How much time do you invest in making yourself look presentable? Which you should, by the way. Sometimes middle school boys have problems with looking and smelling good, but we need to make ourselves presentable, and we should. But what about that next world? Don't we need to invest in being presentable there? Don't we need to spend time on our knees in prayer, preparing our hearts? How much time do you invest under the sun? And how much time do you invest in heaven? That's a great question for you to ask. Evaluate your day, friend. Evaluate your day. Verse 22 says this, What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all of his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. It's confusing. What's the point? Even the night, his heart does not rest. This is vanity. Are you depressed yet? Hey, isn't God's Word supposed to be encouraging and lift us up? Not all of it. It's depressing. What's the point? Why work? Why work? Giving it away anyway. It's going to burn one day anyway. I know our young folks are in here today. So our young folks, I've got a question for you. I asked my children, I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? So, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? Eli says, an NBA basketball player. What do you want to be when you grow up? A band director? A scientist? I bet that was Tristan, wherever he is. All right, I knew that. What is it? Hey, what? A chef. That'd be awesome. What do you want to be when you grow up? Ireland? A vet. That's cool. All right. Well, what do we have here? What do you want to be? Ah, policeman. That's good stuff. Very good stuff. Oh, Autumn. Yeah. There you go. The next Steve Irwin. Here she comes. Stay away from the stingray. What do you want to be? You know, I looked up this morning. The most populous jobs in the United States. Most populous jobs. These are great jobs. And hey, young folks, pursue your dream. Do it. Do it. Be those people. Those are great things. Those are great things. You know the most popular job in the United States? You know what it is? The most jobs across our country. Taxi cab driver. You may or may not, you'll probably go, oh yeah, that's right. Retail salesperson. Every store is filled with them, right? Among the top were desk office clerk. Among them were, oh, there's another good one. I'm going to tell you. This was it. Food service. How about that, Miss Marie? Food service. Michelle? Right? Okay, food service. Everybody loves to eat. All of these jobs we think about. You go, you work, you go home. If you don't enjoy your job, it becomes a drudge to you. And I'm going way back in my history for y'all today. I hope y'all are enjoying this. I am. I used to watch Disney cartoons growing up because we didn't have YouTube. And so I watched Disney cartoons, and it was kind of weird, younger generation. Here it is. I couldn't just turn on the TV and watch whatever I wanted whenever I wanted to. It was very different when I grew up. I had to wait for cartoons to come on during a certain time of day. I know, it's bizarre. But I watched Disney cartoons, and one of the cartoons, they took songs and they set them to music and they did cartoons to them. And one of them that they did, Carter, was this. It was called 16 Tons. 16 Tons. And do y'all remember that song? They took Disney cartoons and they showed like the seven dwarfs. You know, they were working and they kind of put it to the music. Here are the words of the song. Here it is. Okay, listen to this in light of what Ecclesiastes is telling us. Y'all can probably sing it for me. You load 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and a deeper in debt. Depressing, right? St. Peter, don't you call me because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company stove. I was born one morning. I like that. When the sun didn't shine, I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal, and the store boss said, well, bless my soul. You load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and a deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. It encapsulated the idea of, man, I just work and I go home. I work and I go home. I work and I go home. Oh, I got paid today so I can pay all my bills. Right? Is there a point? Is there a point to our toil? Is there even a point? I answer you this morning, yes. Look in verse 24 and let's talk about this. There is nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from Him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? What is our three-word summary of Ecclesiastes? Hope in God. Y'all can say it better than that. What is it? Hope in God. This is the point. You load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and a deeper in debt. There is a sense in which your toil and your work can be a drudge, a drudgery, an unenjoyable thing that you just go to get your paycheck, to hand your money to people, to pay your bills. Yeah, that's very real. And as you see, the preacher sees that. But there is a redeeming quality that the Lord, from the hand of God, He says in verse 24. This is from the hand of God that you can enjoy what God gives you. Even under the sun. So friends, Christians, do not fall into the trap that I'm just working to pay my bills. This is not the way of God. This is not the gift of God. Look what He said in verse 24. There's nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This is from the hand of God. Here's the simple point for you. Very practical. Here it is. Christian, enjoy your life. Enjoy something in life. Find joy in things as being from the hand of God. And if you can take your spouse out to Outback once a month, enjoy that. If you can buy a brownie for your son at the grocery store as a snack, enjoy that. If you can get the latest and greatest iPhone or Android phone and enjoy it, do it. It is a gift of God. Things are a gift of God for us to enjoy. If you enjoy Hostess cupcakes, go find one and guess what? And eat it and savor it. And then go run for a mile or something, right? Alright. Enjoy life, friends. And I'm not saying be that all of your joy comes from these things. But enjoy it because God has given you things that you can enjoy. And if you live as a miserable person, guess what you will be? Y'all are smart. God has given us things to enjoy in life. Now, somebody say amen. God has given us things to enjoy in life. People to enjoy. Tastes to enjoy. Experiences to enjoy. You like riding a horse? Go ride a horse. If you like skydiving, be careful, right? I told my wife, one day I want to go skydiving. Will anyone go with me? Because she will not go with me. All right, good. She won't go with me. There is no way. But your great joy in life does not come from those things. It comes from things that are not under the sun. So here's the point. We can enjoy things under the sun, but we do not get our ultimate fulfillment from things under the sun. Look in verse 37. I'm sorry, not verse 37. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. This is important. We enjoy life. We must enjoy our toil. We have a job to enjoy things. But Jesus said there's more to it. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out what? Say it to me again. Send out what? Jesus said, pray that there will be what? Laborers in the field. Our work is not only for Hostess Cupcakes. Our work is not only to be able to go on that skydiving excursion. But Jesus said, pray for workers in the field. And he wasn't talking about things under the sun workers. He was talking about kingdom workers, salvation workers, things that matter for eternity, things that go beyond the sun. Now, last week we looked at the song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I'm telling you this. Don't settle for over the rainbow. Settle for over the sun. Things that are going to matter forever. And pray, God, as I work my job and get a paycheck to pay my bills, may I also work for the kingdom and get a paycheck to pay for the kingdom work that needs to be done. May I invest in people's lives as a laborer in the church and on the mission field. Young people, I'm glad you're here today. Be a vet. Be a policeman. Be all of these things that you want to be. Be an NBA player. Be whatever you want to be, but you be a kingdom worker first and foremost. And that might mean you need to go to Haiti and be a vet and share the gospel with people as you fix animals. That might mean you need to go to Canada and be a policeman and share the gospel with people in Canada that need to hear it. That might mean you need to stay right here in Plaquemine. I don't know what it means for you, but parents, please guide your children in the truth that there's more than just being an employee for your life. It's being a missionary on mission for God, a heaven-sent missionary wherever we are. Teenagers, now's the time in your life when you're making decisions. What are you going to do? Look, Jesus said, pray that there will be laborers in the field. I'm praying for you that you will go in the field and work as a laborer of the kingdom of God. There is work that we do under the sun, but there is more important work that we do over the sun. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus said this, do not lay up for you. We read it already. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but labor, but work. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves don't break it and steal. There is a work to be done in the next world for the next world that takes place now. Listen to another one, what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18. Peter said to Jesus, see, we've left our homes and we've followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is none who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and when? In the age to come. Eternal life. Are you depressed because you're seeing no fruit for the work that you do every day? Well, maybe you're investing too much under the sun. And maybe you need to be investing over the sun. To the eternal kingdom of God. The Lord has saved us not to just make us comfortable and happy here on earth, but to use us for His purpose of eternal kingdom work. That is sharing the gospel. That is making disciples. That is teaching. That is baptizing folks. That is investing into a church. That is serving drinks to people at funerals. That is making phone calls. That is making visits. That is doing kingdom work. That is raising a godly family. That is investing in men and younger women. That is kingdom work that needs to be done. Pray that the Lord would send laborers into the field. And look how he ties this up, the preacher, in verse 26. Ecclesiastes 2. This is good. Hear this. Okay? This is good. For to the one who pleases Him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, He has given the business of what? Gathering and collecting. Only to give to one who pleases God. This is also vanity and it's driving after the wind. Here's what I see by that verse. God blesses, the Lord our God blesses His people. You see that? Wisdom, knowledge, joy. As we have a biblical worldview and an understanding of this world as God's world and we are workers in His world to invest into kingdom work, He blesses wisdom, joy, knowledge. But to the sinner, to the under the sun minded man or woman, gathering, collecting. I work, I pay my bills. I work, I pay my bills. I work, it's just the gathering and collecting. It's pointless. So let me give you the test then. If you often have running through your mind the thought of, man, this is just pointless. Man, this is not worth it. Man, what am I doing? Then friend, I want to tell you, you are probably more in the camp of thinking like the sinner. And maybe you are a sinner before God and you've never understood that the Lord has redeemed you from that life, from a life of worldliness and called you to a place of godliness. Maybe you've never come to the place in your life where you've said, well, there must be more than what's under the sun, and you've said, oh, there is. And you've looked to the Word of God and you've heard the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never come to a place where you've heard that Jesus came to redeem you from the sinfulness and the toils of this world and your efforts in this world. He came to redeem you from that and draw you into a new life. A life of investing into the kingdom. And maybe today's your day to say, I need to repent of my worldly thinking and receive the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. And think about the eternal life that I'll get through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe today's the day that you need to receive that. And turn away from under the sunness and turn into all eternity. Maybe you need to pray right now. Father, forgive me through the work of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive me of my sinfulness. Draw me to You that I might know You. Draw me to know You and to live for You. I surrender myself to Your way. Maybe you need to be right there. Maybe Christian, maybe you have become enticed and you've bitten the hook that had that little lure on it. That looks so enticing and you're tangled up in this world and under the sunness. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to say, I am so invested into this world that I have neglected the eternal kingdom. Maybe you need to get straight today. Come bow your knee at this altar and say, Father, forgive me. I am too invested in this world. Look at the end of that verse. I want to make one more point. But to the sinner He has given the business of gathering and collecting only to give to the one who pleases God. Here's the point. The Lord is going to do with His resources as He chooses and as He so pleases. You can never take God's things out of His hand. There is an accountability, church, before God. with everything that we have, everything that we earn, every dollar that we garnish on our paychecks. They are God's. They are the Lord our God's resources. For to the one who pleases God, He gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, gathering, collecting. Friends, I leave you with this. Hope in God. Children, you're here this morning. Listen up. Colossians chapter 3. This is how we'll close today. Colossians chapter 3 says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord in everything. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this does what? Y'all say it. Pleases the Lord. How can you please God? By being obedient to the work that you have. And your primary job, young people, if you're under the roof of your parents, young people, 18 and under, your primary job in your home is to be obedient and respectful of your parents. This pleases the Lord. That is your job. That's your toil. That's your work. Verse 23 says this. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. An eternal inheritance. Church, let's think like we sang this morning. Let's think eternally. And if you need help doing that, come be a part tonight. Brother Chaz will be teaching. I'll be teaching Worldview. Children, y'all come be a part of Kids Jam. This will get us thinking eternally. Will you be a worker? A worker in God's kingdom. Let's pray. Father, help us to work. Help us to be your workers for all eternity. Lord, give us, transform us, change our hearts. Give us the desire to work for your kingdom, to enjoy life, but to work for your kingdom as a great priority in our life. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Come to our time of response. If you need to know Jesus and you don't know Him, come pray. Pray right now. Pray at this altar. Bend on your knee. Cry out for salvation. God, save my soul. If you need to repent of your sin, you come to this altar and you bend the knee and you repent. Say, God, I'm too focused on the world. If you need to serve more, you come talk to me at some point. You say, how can I serve more? How can I be investing into the kingdom? I'll help you. I'll sit down with you. I'll pray with you. I'll help you. Find a way to invest in God's kingdom. I need thee every hour. Let's stand and sing. You respond. be seated. Miss Belinda Buqua, please come forward. Yes. We want to recognize you for 39 years of service to this church. 39 years of service to this church. I was crying in the crib 39 years ago, and you were leading the choir. Isn't it a joy? Belinda, we really do thank you for your service. And I know some years have been better than others and more difficult than others. And the last 10 have been your favorite, I'm sure. But we do appreciate everything you do. We know that you are a valuable gift to the church. So please come and I'll show your appreciation. Love you. This is for you. Enjoy. She took the week off, I guess, for your anniversary. That's good. That's good. Y'all pray for her. She's been sick. Let me do our announcements, and then we have some folks that want to join our church, which is a blessing. Quickly, tonight we meet. You know what's going on tonight. Come be a part tonight. Three ways in which you can learn and grow. Also, this Saturday evening, we have the ladies, our meeting. This Saturday evening, meeting here, I believe. Stacy, are you here? There you are. Can you tell us about what's going on? All right, 6 o'clock fellowship hall here. Gentlemen, who's our representative for our men's fellowship? We're meeting at 6 o'clock at Bayou Sorrel Baptist, right? Is that correct? All right, that's correct. Next, so we'll have, and so men, if you're a man and a lady, there will be child care here for the ladies in case you're splitting up, which we're trying not to plan that again, but that's the way it worked out this time. But there will be child care here for the kids if you want to be involved next on Saturday. Special call business meeting next Sunday, March 13th, 6 o'clock in the evening to approve our budget. So please be here for that. We need to get that budget approved for this year. Choir practice this evening, yes. Normal Wednesday activities, yes. Brother Chaz, anything you have to add? Deacons meeting today? Steve here? No? All right.